This week reminds us of what is the greatest evil in the world. It's not AIDS, it's not world hunger. The greatest evil that exists is sin. It's because sin has eternal consequences. Sin can lead to eternal separation from God. But this week we celebrate Christ's victory over sin. We carry palm branches as a sign of that victory. We read about his suffering and death because that is his victory. Okay? The prince of this world, Satan, has been cast out. Sin has been defeated. Guilt has been taken away. Now God's forgiveness is ours for the asking. They say sin destroys our capacity to love. But confession and contrition restores that capacity to love. The Curé of Ars said, sin is a grain of sand next to the mountain of God's mercy. Sin is a grain of sand next to the mountain of God's mercy. So in today's gospel, Jesus enters Jerusalem as a king and takes possession of the holy city. No pomp, no glory, just simplicity, riding on a donkey. The apostles wonder, who is the greatest? The worldly are preoccupied with externals. The weapons of this world are swords and clubs, those who fight for this world's kingdoms. But Jesus Christ is King of the Jews and the Gentiles as well. Pilate wrote those words in mocking irony. In reality, he was the first evangelist. Where are Pilate's successes today? The answer is that they are nowhere to be found. Where are Caesar's successors? They're lost in the dustbin of history. But if you go to Rome, you can see the successor of Jesus Christ, the vicar of Rome, the Pope. To the good thief, Jesus says, the good thief says to Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. A kingdom not of this world, but of the next world. G.K. Chesterton says, when you find something you prefer to life, then you have begun to live. When you find something you prefer to life, then you have begun to live. We prefer the kingdom of God to all the kingdoms of this world. It's a greater thing to be a citizen of the kingdom of God than to be a king of all the kingdoms of this world. The difficulty is, in order for to say thy kingdom come, we must also say my kingdom go. In order for his reign to come about, it requires a submission and a surrender on our part. His kingdom is basically the world turned upside down. Jesus stoops down in order to elevate us into a divine communion. He descends so that we can ascend. He becomes our slave to destroy our slavery to sin. He becomes our food in order that we might live. And then he says, as I have done, so also you must do. Jesus stoops from the height of his divinity to serve his creatures. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords turns out to be the suffering servant of Yahweh, the last person you would expect him to be. In the kingdom of God, humility is power. Humility sees others as kings and as queens, and oneself as servant. Pride sees others as servants and oneself as king. And he spent the most important night of his life washing the feet of his disciples. The same humility that was revealed at Bethlehem only grew deeper as he grew older. And today, like we say, he takes his throne. The throne of humility is the cross. He reigns from the cross. He shows himself to be the slave of humanity, the slave of the slaves, the slave of the slaves of sin. You and I are slaves of sin, but he makes himself our slave. They say the worst poverty is the deprivation of grace. The worst form of slavery is sin. Okay? And the world is bound by that slavery to sin. The world is in that poverty of deprivation of grace. And so Christ comes to restore what we could not restore ourselves. And like we say, we hold palm branches today in solidarity with that victory, in solidarity that the only acceptable sacrifice we can offer is ourselves in union with him. Humility united to sacrifice is the most powerful force on earth. And so this week, again, Lent gets raised up a notch. We're called even to more penance and reparation. They say there are no substitutes for holiness. Holiness is the characteristic of the kingdom of God. That's the entry requirement, to seek holiness. And the foundation of holiness is always humility. Okay, so as we enter this Holy Week with Christ, we unite ourselves to that humility. And on that foundation, God can build a holy life. We can build a holy life only on that foundation of humility.